when sorrow is turned into supernatural joy. And this is a topic that I got on by just reflecting in my own personal time on that one-on-one time with God that I had recently. And there have been many times in my own life where I was in a time of depression and even despair, where the Lord allowed me to sense His sweet presence and that sweet supernatural joy that you experience at times when you're going through times of trial, tribulation, and despair, and sadness, and grief, even when you lose someone. So I'm going to begin with prayer, and then we're going to begin to talk about this subject. I'm going to talk about this subject, and I would love to see if you would comment, ask questions, or engage somehow in this live. Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that there's a well that never runs dry that comes from your Holy Spirit that brings that supernatural joy up from within us. Lord, that sweetness of your Spirit when nothing but bitterness comes our way, Lord, in times of grief, in times of depression, in times of despair. Lord, once again, impart supernatural revelation, impartation, Lord God, into our lives right now. Help us to understand, help us to see, and help us to grasp what it is you're teaching by your Spirit. Help me to speak your words and not my own, in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, there have been many times where I was caught up in severe depression, despair, and grief in my life, and I needed the supernatural joy that could only come from the Holy Spirit. So when I came to the realization, that Jesus was near and that he could turn my sorrow to joy, my entire life changed. And I want you to have that revelation. I want you to understand that today, that no matter what you're going through right now, whether you lost a loved one, whether you lost a brother, a sister, a husband, a wife, whatever it might be, through a dark time in your life, whether you're walking through a time where you feel the enemy is trying to steal your peace and your joy, you can have that supernatural joy that comes from placing your faith in Jesus, from knowing that he's near, from knowing that he's right there with you, no matter what you're walking through. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. So what if I was to tell you, that you could have joy in any situation, regardless of how difficult it was? Well, Jesus promised that he could release to us this fullness of joy. This is a promise we can hold on to in John 15:11, when he says, "I have told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." What a promise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus spoke these words after telling his disciples that they were loved. He told them that if they would keep his commandments, they would abide in his love. He was trying to teach them how to abide in him. Do you know about abiding? I ask you this question. Do you know how to abide in Jesus? He abides in the Father. We abide in him. He's the vine. We're the branches. We abide by listening to his voice, by obeying his voice, and by staying clean before him, by confessing and repenting of our sins if we've fallen short. And you know, we fall short each and every day. So I say repentance is a daily activity. It's not a one and you're done, but we are to keep our hearts clean before God, to continue to abide in Christ, to continue to have the communication and the relationship that we should with him. So stay connected. Stay connected with the Lord. Abide in his love by abiding in his commandments, by living out his commands, by living out that obedience that he calls us to, and you'll stay connected in that way. But in a way, Jesus was providing them with the instructions they needed to experience the supernatural joy that only he could impart. The joy Jesus provides us with is found in the living water he gives us to drink. And after the first sip, you'll never thirst again. Jesus promises that if you drink of the water that he gives you, which is the Holy Spirit, this is the representation of the Holy Spirit, that you'll never thirst again if you drink from his well. So this joy rises up when sorrow floods in to overwhelm us and render us hopeless. So this joy is consistent in the lives of those who follow the Lord, keeping their sights set on things eternal, not temporal. Hallelujah. Things above and not below, not the things of this earth, but the things of the kingdom of God that is to come. And the kingdom is now among us. Because when Jesus came and dwelt among us, from that point on, he left us with his Holy Spirit. He sent us down his Holy Spirit, and the kingdom dwells among us. We only need but to tap into it through his Spirit. While experiencing a natural kind of joy, it comes and goes. It increases and fades depending on whether things worked out the way we'd hoped. And many times, things don't work out the way we'd hoped, the way we'd expected, the way we'd planned. But God can continue to give you that joy, regardless of the situation, regardless of how the situation turns out, even when there's an unexpected outcome. But the supernatural joy the Holy Spirit supplies is like a well that never runs dry. Once again, like I just said, it's powerful enough to cancel out depression. It's strong enough to break through in times of grief, and the joy of the Lord will be your strength. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. That's why it's so important to never forfeit your joy or your peace, regardless of how the enemy comes in to try to snuff out that spark in your life, that spark of hope, that spark that keeps that joy and peace alive, and never allow it to be quenched, but continue to praise the Lord, to exalt him, to lift him up, to lift his name on high. And that's one of the ways that you continue in that joy, is to praise God at all times, because in every moment, there's a reason to praise him in every moment. And many times it's just because he's good, because we know our situation maybe isn't good. Our situation feels like it's weighing us down. It's almost oppressive at times. But in that moment, God is worthy of our praise. He is good. He is pure. He is true. He is holy. And he's working things out on our behalf in the background, even when we can't see it. So now please turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 8 through 12. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 8 through 12. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave this sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest, and the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God, and do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and to drink, to send portions, and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. See, they understood these words that were declared to them. How good is it to understand, to have revelation, to understand the revelation? And they understood what was being spoken to them as Ezra and the others that were there explained these mysteries, explained what they had been missing out on. So in Nehemiah 8, the people had just finished rebuilding the wall that surrounded Jerusalem. This construction or reconstruction was only part of the restoration that needed to take place in Jerusalem. The people needed spiritual restoration. They needed spiritual regeneration. And the only way they'd recognize how far they'd fallen is for the law of the Lord to be read to them. I truly believe that. And they heard God's commandments and what he required. They realized why judgment had come upon previous generations. And they realized their need for repentance and forgiveness. They realized they needed to repent to be forgiven of the sins that they had committed against the Lord. Because up until this point, they may not have known many of the things that were written in the book of the law that were read to them as to where they had fallen away from abiding in the commandments of the Lord. And Jesus said, "I will allow you to experience that fullness of joy if you abide. If you obey my commandments, you will abide in me." So here they're given the opportunity to abide in the Lord God if they would obey his commandments. And now they understood those commandments and they knew what they were, and they were able to abide in God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now they had the roadmap to obey God, which would bring them blessing, joy, and peace and prosperity in this time, in this season. When they wept, it was because they knew that God was offended and grieved by their rebellion and the rebellion of previous generations. If Ezra hadn't told them not to be filled with sorrow, they may have lingered in shame and condemnation. But he spoke to them to go out to drink, to eat, to send out portions for those who don't have anything. In other words, go out and celebrate. He told them to go out and celebrate this day because it was sacred. It was set apart as holy unto the Lord. Then he says the most important things. He says the joy of the Lord will be your strength. The most important thing, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Then the people went out and rejoiced greatly because they understood the words of the law that were read to them. So by reading and understanding what took place in the text, we can understand that being joyful is a decision. Why would I say that being joyful is a decision? Think about this. Think about, I'm out on the street. And I see someone, I see them crying, I see them grieving, and I say, "You know, why are you crying? Why are you so sad? Why are you in despair?" And they say, "Well, my brother just passed away." Imagine I was to tell them, "Well, don't be so sad, don't be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." They would most likely say to me, "How dare you tell me how to feel? How dare you tell me to be joyful when I'm in such a time of grief and despair and this tragedy has taken place in my life?" But Ezra wanted the people to understand that they had a choice to despair or to rejoice in knowing that there were brighter days ahead. And as we tell people, the joy of the Lord can be your strength. As I tell myself, you know, may the joy of the Lord be my strength. And I praise God even in times that are very difficult in my life at times. I tell myself and remind myself of these scriptures. Why? Because there's brighter days ahead. This isn't the end. Hallelujah. There's that well that we can tap into that never runs dry. And Jesus is walking with us. He's here to comfort us. He's here to give us peace. And we have an eternal destiny in heaven. We have an eternal destination where there'll never be pain again or sorrow again or tears again. And we look forward to the promises. It's so easy to get caught up in the negative, the things that we don't have, the things that aren't happening right now. But we need to hold on to our faith and our hope that brings us into that place of faith, that brings us into that place of promise. Hold on to the promise, brother. Hold on to the promise, sister. And the joy of the Lord can be your strength even now. We can find joy in the promise that he'll never leave us or forsake us. We find joy by focusing on what we've been blessed with and not what we haven't been given. We find joy by praising God instead of complaining. And most of all, we find joy in the fact that Jesus loved us enough to lay down his life at the cross. Because he lives, his spirit lives in us and rises up to be our glimmer of hope in our darkest hour. He's that sweetness in the time of bitterness when everything that seems to come our way is bitter. The Spirit of God urges us to press on when the enemy and our own mind tell us to quit. In a way, this topic relates to those who hear the gospel and begin to sense the presence of God, the goodness of God, and they feel convicted of their sin. They feel ashamed in their sin. Just as these people, I'm sure, when they heard Ezra speaking, when they heard the law of the Lord, they were grieved, they were ashamed, they felt condemned. But Ezra said to them, "The joy of the Lord shall be your strength. This is a sacred day unto the Lord." And if you're hearing the gospel for the first time, or maybe this is the third time, seventh time, 10th time, 20th time, 100th time, it doesn't matter, because salvation is available to you. Forgiveness is available to you even now. Today is the day of salvation. So these people felt grieved, they felt sorrowful, they felt, "Now that I know what God requires of me, he requires that we ask for forgiveness of anything we've done to sin against him, any way we've offended him. He requires of us to believe on his one and only Son, who gave his life at the cross to shed his blood for our sins, to cleanse us of our sin. He requires that we believe that Jesus rose from the grave, that he is Lord forevermore, that he is Lord and God. And it requires that we follow him with all of our hearts, that we listen to his voice, and that we do all that we can to obey his voice by asking the Holy Spirit to partner with us, to give us the strength, the wisdom, and all that we need." Let me tell you, if you're striving to live the Christian life, if you're striving to live for God without the Holy Spirit, you're missing a big piece of what's going to get you there, of what's going to give you that supernatural joy, that supernatural peace, that supernatural life in the Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to live according to God's will and his commands, to abide in him. So right now, I want to give you the opportunity, and I want to tell you, you don't need to feel condemned. You don't need to feel ashamed if you're forgiven. If you're forgiven first and foremost, if the enemy's beating you down saying, "Remember what you've done, look what you did," Jesus, if you've already repented and confessed your sins, Jesus is saying, "Look what I've done. Look what I've done. You're clean. You're redeemed. You're a child of God. Hallelujah. You're a son or a daughter of the Most High King. You don't need to remember what you've done in the past, because it's clean and it's finished. It is finished." But if you haven't repented, ask God to forgive you of your sins and place your faith in Jesus. Let's do it right now. Do it with me by saying this prayer, believing it in your heart, and going forward by following Jesus and setting your mind on things above and not below, that you would please him. Say this prayer with me. If you want to give your life to Christ and live for him, say the words, which are important, but it's more important that you believe them in your heart. So say these words with me and pray with me. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is your one and only Son, that he died on the cross for my sins. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Anything I've done to sin against you or offend you, Lord, I'm truly sorry for those things. Lord, wash me, cleanse me, purge me of all evil and all corruption. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Lord forevermore. I believe you died on the cross, that you rose from the grave, and you are my King. You are my Lord and Savior. Lord, provide me with all that I need through your Holy Spirit. I invite your Holy Spirit into my life to give me strength, wisdom, courage, and everything that I need from your presence, from your Spirit, that I may follow you and please you all of my days, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer and you meant it in your heart, you're now a son or a daughter of the Most High King. You don't need to be ashamed. You don't need to feel condemned. You don't need to weep or mourn, but rejoice. Hallelujah. Rejoice. How many times does the Bible tell us to rejoice? Rejoice, for the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Go forward in God's peace and in his joy. The peace is the foundation. It's the foundation. First, you need to find peace in Christ, and then you can build. You can experience the joy. You can experience God's love. and his love was demonstrated by way of the cross. Thank you so much for watching. I pray that each and every one of you grows into a deeper and more intimate relationship with Jesus, where you can experience deliverance, freedom, healing, and all that you need. All that you need has been purchased for you at the cross of Calvary. Keep your eyes to the skies and your hand to the plow, doing the work of the Lord. God bless you.